I said this morning, the more we read, the more we see, the more we understand the world's gone crazy. And a lot of people in that. I personally, some of these horrendous things that we hear about, I believe it is demon possession and demon influence and some of it possession. And some of the things we try to give clinical or medical terms to sometimes is nothing more than just being possessed by wicked spirit, evil spirit. The Bible talks about the evil spirit come over people and they did terrible things. And I believe that that still happens. But just pray for that church. I know nothing about it. Know nothing about the pastor other than I know it's a tragic loss during this time. It's in Maryville, Illinois. And so I just pray the Lord would help them during this time. Tonight we take our study up in another one of the apostles that we have been looking into these different weeks. In Matthew chapter number 10, we'll read here again the list of the apostles. Matthew 10 and verse 2 and verse number 3 gives you the names of the 12 apostles that the Lord had chosen. He called his 12 disciples in verse 1, gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go, and go not to the Gentiles, but into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That is their first commission, was to go to the Jew first and present again the message of salvation. We have in these past weeks we have studied Peter and Andrew, James, and John, and tonight we're taking up Philip. And we sort of tried to put a title with each one of them. Peter was a man, of course, of zeal. We had a couple of lessons on Peter, and certainly he was a zealous man, had a lot of energy, a lot of activity that he performed, things that he did for the Lord. Andrew was classified as a soul winner because he went out and always was bringing somebody to the Lord. James, we recognize that he was sort of short-tempered, hot-headed, and short-fused. And then John, the apostle, the beloved apostle, the apostle whom Jesus loved, the author of our gospel, and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of the Revelation, used very, very much by the Lord to give us, present the Lord Jesus Christ as not only the Son of Man, but as the Son of God. John represents and shows him, shows Jesus to be the divine Messiah. He was deity. And John's gospel is concerned with the love of God toward man. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John is man's love toward God. And, of course, Revelation is God's wrath upon mankind for destruction. And so tonight we look upon this man by the name of Philip. Not too much unusual about him. It's a name. The name, I looked it up. It just means lover of horses. It doesn't have a whole. Doesn't have any spiritual meaning as some of the names does. And maybe his parents liked horses and they named him Philip. I don't know. But anyway, that's a name that appears in the Scripture. even today, Philip is a very popular name among a lot of people. And in the Scripture, you'll find that there are more than one Philip, Philips that is given to us. I've listed them here. One is a governor. He is called Philip. He was actually Herod's brother in the New Testament. Then we have the one that we're going to look at tonight, the apostle named Philip, and then the one to become a deacon in the church of Jerusalem in Acts chapter number 6, also called Philip. This one we look tonight, we sometimes, as we look at him, as we've tried to look at all of these apostles, we hopefully can find ourselves in some of them and find some things there that can help us. And we find tonight that Philip was a very active man. He He wasn't necessarily one of the inner circle. He wasn't with Peter, James, and John. When Jesus showed himself in the transition and being glorified, he wasn't there in that crowd. And some other things that Peter, James, and John were active in, Philip wasn't named there with them. But you'll find that he was very active from the very start of the ministry, when the Lord called him and to become one of the apostles. And seemed like he was always involved and has much to say. And he had a good relationship, I believe, with the Lord. And there's some traits that Philip had that we need also. We need to be and find ourselves busy and active, always working the things of the Lord. And Philip had a desire to, I believe, to serve God. He questioned some things, how that could be, and we'll look at some of the things about Philip's life. And so we find as we look into the scripture tonight, we'll see that he was a follower, first of all, of John the Baptist. Now we need to realize that all the apostles of the Lord were first disciples of John the Baptist. And they were followers of John. They were put together by this man that came out of the wilderness preaching, and they followed his direction, his preaching. And Philip was with John the Baptist when he saw, I believe, Jesus come to be baptized with him. And just as Peter and James and those others were there, and you remember that John the Baptist said, "He must increase, I must decrease." And John, of course, was talking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was saying that he is going to continue to increase, and I'm going to continue to go off the scene. He is going to be more significant. And John recognized that. John knew that he was a preparer of the way. He was one that had been called to, as a voice crying in the wilderness, to prepare to make way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And John, when he saw Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, there he is. He takes away the sin of the world," and he said, "I'm not worthy to even latch or unlatch his shoes." And he said, "I'm going to decrease in popularity, and he is going to increase." And so these men that are called as the disciples of the Lord, later to be called the apostles, these are men that had their training, first of all, under John the Baptist, and had the training to look for the Messiah, look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's turn over to the Gospel of John and look in chapter number 1. And we'll just read what primarily is to do with what we're having to do with tonight. We have read these verses before when talking about Peter and some of these others, but tonight, look in verse 42, or verse 41, talking about Simon Peter. He findeth his own brother, Simon, said to him, "We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas, thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation of stone. Now notice verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and said unto him, "Follow me." Here we find that the apostle Philip, that is listed there in Matthew chapter 10, where we read, here is the encounter that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ at the very beginning of the ministry of Christ. For we find that John had just baptized the Lord. And this is, of course, the beginning of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next day, we find that Jesus was going to Galilee, and the Bible says here that Jesus found Philip. It is that Jesus came to where Philip was, and it says here the day following, Jesus would go forth to Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So we find they were men that knew each other. They lived in the same proximity. They lived in the same area, same town, and we read where that Peter and Andrew had already had their encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Philip has been discovered by the Lord. And the Bible says here that as he was down there on the River Jordan, being with John the Baptist, that Jesus came and declared unto him, "Follow me." Well, what a tremendous statement that is for somebody to hear the word of the Lord to say, "Follow me." What a great blessing and what a great privilege it is for for the disciples to have heard the voice of Christ and just said, "Follow me." Sometimes he'd say, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Sometimes he would just say, as he did to Philip, "Just follow me." And the directive is given, and Philip discovered that what had been promised down through all the ages of time that they had read in their scriptures, what we have as the Old Testament, that all of a sudden he is standing face to face with that one that is called Messiah. He is with that one that has been prophesied about. He is facing now the one that has been presented to them time and time again that he would come. And now the Lamb of God has come and said to Philip, "Follow me." And what a tremendous statement that is for us to be able to have the same voice of the same Lord that said to Philip, "Follow him," that one day he said that to you and I. One day he came by my heart and came by my pathway. And the Lord let me understand and know what condition I was in, that I was lost and I was undone. And he let you know the same thing. He revealed the real you to yourself. You know, sometimes we try to cover it over and we try to make it look better. But when we get face to face with the Lord, he reveals the real you. He reveals the real person to ourselves. And we look into the scripture says, the mirror of his word. And we get the reflection back of ourselves as God sees us. And it's not a very good picture. It's not a very good image that we have. And he shows us how wicked and how sinful we are. But thank God he had grace and mercy upon us. And he says, "Follow me." And praise the Lord, when we hear that voice and we have that message given to us and we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes a world of difference in our life. And so Philip heard those words and he heard Jesus maybe talking to Peter and maybe talking to Andrew, and maybe he heard the words, and all of a sudden Jesus comes face to face with Philip, and he said, "I want you to follow me. I want you to do the same thing and follow me as these other men have done." And so we find here that Philip goes on. He gets the message here. Now in verse number 44 it says, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter." Now notice what happens next. "Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, Come and see." Philip is having conversation now, and he says to Nathanael, one of the other men there, he says, "We have found Messiah." Now, it is a strange thing that just a verse or two before this, it tells us that Jesus found Philip. But when Philip goes out and talks to Nathanael, Nathanael says, "We have found the Lord." And that's just exactly the same experience that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. When God saved us, the first thing we go and do is tell somebody, "I have found the Lord. I've been saved and I've become a Christian." When in reality, it was that God that came to us first. It is God that presented himself. It is Jesus that presented himself to us. But when we go tell people, we just tell folks, "Look what I found. I found a good thing. His name is Christ." And that's exactly the attitude and the passion that Philip had. And he goes and he finds Nathanael and said him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law." Well, they knew the scripture. Now, these wasn't a bunch of arrogant, unlearned men. These were not a bunch of sinners that knew nothing. These were Jewish men that had been following John the Baptist. And John had told them continually that there's one coming after me. And John had taught them that this one that was to come is the one that Moses in the law, in the those what we call the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. It is he that Moses declared and the prophets did write that Jesus, the son of Joseph. And so we find here that they had a relationship with reality concerning who Jesus was, and they recognized and knew that Jesus was in that household of Joseph, and used the terminology son of Joseph, which of course we know that he was not the descendant. Jesus was not the descendant of Joseph, but he lived in that household and he had that name. And so Philip comes to Nathanael and said, "We found the Lord. We found the one that Moses told us about. Not only Moses, but we found the one that all the prophets have spoken about. And it's this Jesus of Nazareth, this son of Joseph." And so Philip, he tells Nathanael, and I'm sure here when we read about Nathanael, he said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael had that attitude that if Jesus is of Nazareth, he's probably not the Messiah. Can any good thing come out of that place called Nazareth? And the answer that Philip gave him, three little words: come and see. If you don't believe me, you just come. If you don't understand, if you don't have belief in your heart, you just come with me and you see what Christ is and you see who he is. And so here's in the very first part of the life, or the known life as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he wasn't an apostle right here at this moment. He became a disciple. And then the Lord chose these 12 out of all of his disciples that he had, and Philip happened to be one of them. Philip was a very active apostle that the Lord used and blessed. And now the very first thing that he does is goes out and tells Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote. And if you don't believe me, you just come and see." You know, that's about all that you and I, the message that we have tonight. If people don't believe us, if they don't take our message, if they don't take our testimony, all that we can do is say, "Well, you just have to come and see for yourself. You'll just have to look and see what the Lord's done for me, and examine the lives of people that are called Christians, and examine the lives of those that have followed the Lord Jesus Christ." And so this is the attitude that Philip had, was, "If you don't believe me, just come and check me out. Just check it out. Come and see." Now, the next portion of the study, we find as the time goes on and Jesus has called him to be a follower, he said, "Follow me." Philip was always there with the work of the Lord. And the next time we find him, you find in the Gospel of John, chapter 6 and verse 4. Verses 4 through 14, we have the story of the feeding of the 5,000, and Philip is very active in this particular passage. So let's read these verses. John chapter 6, and verse beginning with verse number 4. Of course, the Lord had been there in Galilee and had been at the Passover. It says in verse 4, "And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him, and saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what is that among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now, there was as much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes, much as they would. And when they were all filled, he said to the disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered themselves together and filled 12 baskets of fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over, and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they saw the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Now here in this particular miracle, we have here, and I've put it down here, is Philip's conflict. He sort of had a conflict in his own thought processes. Of course, now, I like it when the Bible says the Lord knew what he would do. I'm glad God always knows what he's going to do. There's no time he doesn't know every action, everything that takes place. So there's a lot of people following the Lord. They are following him from place to place. At that time, Jesus was a very popular man. And his popularity was, I believe, for one or two reasons. It was not necessarily that he was Messiah, but he was popular because he was healing all manner of diseases. He was healing the people that were literally sick, some of them dying. And Jesus became very popular with those kind of people. And that would be the case today. And some of the charlatans of our day claim that they can heal, and they have thousands flock to them, and they have folks send them their last money in order that they might receive a blessing from. And so when Jesus was doing the real healing, I can understand why he was very popular. I can understand why that people were following after him, because when someone is hurting and someone has a physical problem and they find that there's somebody there that can help, they're going to try to make their way. If a person tonight, if the announcement was to be made sometime tonight or in the morning that there had been a medical breakthrough and that just by a certain thing that you could do, all the cancers would be healed, you'd see a flocking of people to those doctors that could do that. Because we get to the point that we're desperate, and rightfully so. If something could be done, say even for the pastor that I was telling about a while ago, it has leukemia. If all of a sudden there's a breakthrough, leukemia can be healed, and all you have to do is whatever it is, then people with leukemia are going to flock to that doctor. Well, Jesus is healing all manner of diseases. And he's not a charlatan. He's not doing it on the sideline. He's really healing those folks. When Jairus' daughter was dead, he brought her to life. When people were blind, he made them to see. When they were crippled, they could walk. At one time, they could have to tear off the roof of a building and put a man down, and Jesus would take up your bed and walk. And so they knew the popularity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here they followed the Lord, and it's becoming, if we read all these other passages, you'll find that the day was far spent, and just about time to these folks were getting hungry. We understand that. We'll eat dinner, and before long, we're hungry again. We'll stuff ourselves, say, "Boy, I don't believe I eat anything else today." And 2 hours later, we're stuffing it again. And so that's the process. And these folks were hungry. And the Lord was going to the Passover. It was nigh. And he looks up and he sees a great company. And the Lord turns to Philip. Now, I don't know why he turned to Philip, other than maybe the others, and not the others, but he turns to Philip. That tells us Philip was following close by. He was there in earshot and eyeshot of the Lord. And he turns to Philip and he says, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And he said that to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already knew there's 5 loaves, 2 fish out there. Jesus already knew what he was going to do, but he turns to Philip to prove himself to Philip and all those others that are around him. And we find that he asks him, "How are we going to feed these people? How are we going to do this?" Philip comes along. He counts his money. Maybe he counts the money of all the disciples. And he says, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. All that we have is just a little bit of money. And Lord, that's not sufficient to feed this crowd. Where are we going to go when we have the need? And what are we going to do, Philip? And the Lord, knowing all the time, and Philip said, really what Philip was saying, he said, I have no idea. I don't know. How are we going to feed these people? And Philip said, only 200 penny worth. Just a little bit of money that would buy just a little bit of bread. But what is that among so many? What is that? And so he tries to figure out how that bread could take care of this people and be purchased. It wasn't a very large sum of money. It wasn't a lot of money. And they had a treasure. They had Judas, but there wasn't nothing there available. And no more ideas came out. And so Andrew, he speaks up. We have the story where we read. And he says, what we do have is a lunch that a little boy has given. It's five, what it was five little cakes. And we have it in our Bible, five loaves. Now we think of bunny bread loaf. That wasn't what it was. It's five little biscuits, five loaves, and two fish. Now, I don't know how he got that. Maybe his mother prepared him a meal. He's going to be gone all day, and his mother's going to take care of that little boy. And so Andrew, one of the disciples, he saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many? 200 pennyworth is not enough to buy, and five biscuits and two fish, that's not enough. What can we do? When confronted with the impossible situation, Philip, in reality, is going to learn that Jesus Christ is larger than all the problems that might come. And thank God tonight, though, our Lord is larger than any problem that we could ever face. Whatever it is that faces us, and whatever difficulty that that comes up, is that that the Lord's better, the Lord's bigger, and the Lord's greater than anything that could be before us. The hard part of it is just taking it to the Lord. The hard part of this is to take my hands off of it and say, Lord, I leave it with you. We're all made of the same kind of dirt and same kind of clay. We all have the same problem, and we try to figure it out in our own way, and we figure and figure and figure, and then we can't do anything, and then we turn it over to the Lord. Well, when a problem faces us, instead of us trying to figure it out and then turn over to the Lord, we ought to turn over to the Lord and let Him figure it out, and we just bask in His joy and love and the blessings that God gives us. And so Philip has asked the question, for the Lord is going to prove Himself unto all the disciples. And Philip said, we don't have enough money. And Andrew said, we don't have enough food. But Jesus said, I'm enough. And He took those five loaves, and you know the story, and two fish. He blessed it. He had those men to sit down, and 5,000 men that were there, that was all that was counted. There's a possibility, very probable, that there was 10,000 people there. How do we picture 10,000 people? That's a lot of people. On TV, you see some of these big evangelists, and they have buildings that are full. And very few of them have 10,000. Maybe Joel Osteen, Smiling Joel, he probably has that many. But there's the crowd. And Jesus has them to sit down. And one of the other Gospels tells us sets down in, I forget, either companies of 50 or companies of 100. And He has them sit down. And He takes the five loaves, two fish. He didn't even need the 200 penny worth. He didn't need the money. And He blesses the bread and the fish and hands it out. And when they all get, everything is filled, they take up 12 baskets of leftovers. Somebody said those 12 baskets were for the hungry disciples that had worked. How would you like to feed 10,000 people? You got 12 disciples feeding 10,000, 5,000 men, we know. And there's probably other than just the 12, but they were busy. And they took up 12 baskets of fragments left over. Well, I'm glad God can supply our need. God can take care of any problem, any need that we have. God can make abundance out of nothing. If He can speak the world into existence, just the very words of His mouth, let there be light, and there was light, I think He can take care of me. If he can part the Red Sea, I believe he can take care of us. If he can part Jordan as it rolled over its banks and they walked across into the promised land, I believe he can take care of me. If he can feed 5,000 men with five biscuits and two fish, five loaves and two fish, I believe he can feed me. Now, I might not like biscuits and might not like fish, but he can feed me. And he'll feed me of those things that, which he chooses, and sufficiency is of the Lord. All right, turn over now to John chapter 12, and we see another incident with this man called Philip. Chapter 12 of John. And verse number 20. Now we have here in chapter 12 we have the supper at Bethany. Of course that was Lazarus' house, Mary and Martha. Lazarus had just been resurrected from the dead. In chapter 11, chapter 12, there's a supper there that Jesus is there. Verse number 12, the Bible says, on the next day much people that were come to the feast, that's the feast of the Passover there, they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Here's the picture that they throw down their palm branches and they cry Hosanna to the Lord, and they rejoice in him, says, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Well, just a few chapters over, they're saying crucify him, same people. And so the Lord is coming into Jerusalem, and they come to him. By verse number 17, the people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, they heard that he had done this miracle. Again, they were following him because of the miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. They certainly did not like the attitude did not want the crowd to follow the Lord. And the Pharisees, that religious crowd, they said, well, the whole world is following after this man called Jesus. What are we going to do? Now, in verse number 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Here are these Gentiles that are coming to a Jewish feast, these Greeks. Now, the Greeks could not go in to where the feast was being prepared and where the feast was was happening. And so these certain Greeks, they came and they said to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. Those Grecian people, those men, very probable that they might have been proselytes or converts to the Jewish religion. And they were at Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when they got there, they had heard about the Lord, and they knew that some of these men were disciples of the Lord, and somehow I believe they knew that Philip was one. And they come to Philip, and they said, we would see Jesus. Now, Philip takes that, and he comes to Andrew. And there's a situation. How are they going to see the Lord? They can't come in, and they can't go to where he is, but they want to see the Lord. And and so Philip comes to Andrew and tells him, and they go together. and tell the Lord, there are some Grecian people out here, there's some Greeks out here that want to see you. Sometimes folks need somebody else to show them the Lord. And these Greeks, they had to have somebody else show them the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a world out those doors tonight that if we don't show them the Lord, they may not see the Lord. If we don't show them and if we don't give them everything that they need, then they may not have the knowledge. And so they go and tell the Lord, and the Lord says, except I die, except a corn of wheat or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it biteth alone. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and glorified it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it was thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Here the Lord is told, here's some Greeks that want to see you. It does not tell us exactly how it happened, but it does tell us that Jesus had conversation with them, and I believe it was because that Philip and Andrew presented the Lord that they want to see you. And Jesus said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes, the disciples and those Greek people. This is the work of a soul winner. This is the work of you and I as a believer, that we are to, if when somebody says we would see Jesus, how are they going to see Jesus? They can only see them as we present him. They can only see the Lord in our world, in our society, as we tell them and show them the Lord Jesus Christ. So the passage here tells us, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. And thank God we lift him. He was lifted up at Calvary, and we lift him tonight. And every other time we come together preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in John chapter 14. Of course, this is the passage of Scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house, many mansions, we understand that. And Jesus said in verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffereth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? I've done all these things, Philip, you still don't know that if you see me, you see the Father. He says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me, and he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he's talking to Philip now, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Philip, if you love me, keep my commandments. Philip had been with him all along. from the very first chapter there in the Gospel of John, when Jesus comes and says, "Follow me, Philip." He had been with him down through all the different things that has been presented here tonight, and I'm sure the others, maybe when he was not mentioned, he was there. And Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except by me." And Philip says, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said, "Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you don't understand." And the Lord took him, I believe these verses we read, they were directly given for the benefit of this man, Philip, who just didn't understand what had taken place. You see, those disciples, they walked with the Lord, but yet when they found out that somebody was going to betray them, they all said, "Is it I?" Well, they should have known that. They knew they was not going to do in their own heart. They would not do that. And they all began to ask, "Is it I?" And now Philip says, "Lord, you say that you are with the Father. Lord, show us the Father." Boy, I think a very pointed statement question here that Jesus makes. "Have I been so long time with you, yet thou not know me, Philip?" And then he begins to deal and teach Philip that I and the Father are one. That is a pivotal, foundational truth of the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is deity. And Jesus said, "You've been with me all this time. And if you see me, you're seeing the works of the Father. If you see me, if you're with me, you're with the Father." And he says, "Believe that I am the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." At least just believe it for the sake of the work of God. You know, there's a lot of things we may not understand tonight, but there are a lot of things we need to just believe because of the work's sake. The sake of the work, the sake of the house of God. There are some things that may be important to us, but I don't believe our agenda is more important than the Lord's agenda. I don't believe our feelings are more important than the feelings of Christ and the feelings of God. And so here the Lord gives to Philip this personal lesson that Jesus was God and he had seen him all along the way in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gives him a promise in verse 13 and 14. "Whatsoever you ask," I believe he's still talking to Philip now. "Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And then, "Philip, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my words. Follow me." The time was quickly approaching that Jesus was no longer going to be with them. And all they would have would be the memories and the words and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What amazement Philip must have experienced to know that he was sitting and eating and following and listening to the very Creator God of all this world. When God said, "Let us make man in our image," I believe God was talking with himself and there, that the Trinity, "Let us," our image. And all of a sudden, Philip comes to understand that I'm talking to God. If I'm talking to Jesus, if I'm with the Son of God, I'm with God. You and I tonight, we need to understand that if we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit lives within us. Guess who lives within us? It's God. The very presence of our Lord, the very presence of our Heavenly Father, lives in the body of clay and the temple that he has given to us. And what a wonderful thought and wonderful knowledge is that we have the presence of the Lord everywhere we go. I believe God's still looking for some Philips today. We may not understand it all. We may not have all the answers. And we may try to work it out and figure it out in ourselves. But in the end, we understand it is God whom we work for. It's God that does the work in our heart. And it is the Lord that gives us everything we have. Every breath we breathe, every drop of water that we drink, Every bite of food we have is a direct result of the blessings of God. And surely we can be like Philip and point people to the Lord. That apostle that was always there in the midst of it, he wasn't boisterous like Peter. He wasn't always out front. He wasn't always the one saying something, but he was always there, and the Lord directed statements to him because he's close enough to hear what the Lord had to say. May that be our desire tonight, that we'd just be close enough to the very heart of God, that we'd know what he has for us, and we'd follow him, and we'd understand that he's God whom we serve. We serve him through the power of the Holy Spirit. We serve him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray, if we want our prayers answered, we pray in that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to God through the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. What a tremendous blessing we have as people that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as Philip did in his life. Let's stand together.